Joining us in studio is Trent Dilfer. And Trent, as you just heard moments ago, for those just joining us, we were talking about Mel's new mock. And the thing that jumps off the page to me is that Teddy Bridgewater is the number one pick of the second round.
Mm-hmm.
How does he drop to the second? And if so, why will he?
Well, I think contextually you have to look at, first of all, when all these mock drafts start and the process all these evaluators are going through. I've said this for years. Guys really don't really get into the nitty-gritty of the quarterback tape till after the combine.
That's what Ryan just said, yeah.
Yeah, so this process, because of where we work and because all the news outlets, we're forced to kind of have to put a label on these guys prematurely.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons I have not weighed in on this class yet, because I've learned my lesson from making mistakes when you weigh in too early. You don't have all the information. So you step back, you dig a little bit deeper, you watch the game tape multiple times, you go through the pro days, you try to say, okay, how's the pro day match up with what we're seeing? You learn the backstories, these guys, what they were asked to do. So now when you watch the game tape, you actually know what they're being asked to do once you've talked to the coaches, once you understand the scheme. With Teddy, he's a guy that's wildly productive. He is super efficient. I do believe he has a high functional football intelligence. And what I mean by that is when he is between the lines, he makes good decisions. He sees it clearly. He knows the timing and tempo it takes to be successful. But what's been exposed through this process, which I had a first-hand look at last year when he was with me at the Elite 11 as a counselor, he doesn't have a lot of juice. His body doesn't output a ton of energy. So it's a little methodical. It's not a lot of power in the body. His frame isn't one that you look at and go, wow, that guy's going to be durable. So you start adding all this stuff up, and he's still a really good player. But he doesn't have, because of the things that you kind of learn more about him, he's not a guy that you go, wow, that's a franchise guy. That's a top 10 pick. That's a guy we can build around. It's more, okay, he's got to fit in the right system. He's got to have really good people around him. And when he does, he'll be a very good player.
Is there one from the group that you actually are excited about that you go, okay, this guy can change a franchise?
Based on my hesitation. I don't think there's no Andrew Luck in this group.
Okay. We've heard
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Okay. So then you get into our world. Are there Tannehills? Are there RG3s? Are there, you know, that Kaepernick's, Russell Wilson, a guy that has incredible intangible traits and can be a great competitor put in the right system? I think there's some of those guys. I think Blake Bortles fits a lot of that. Blake Bortles, if developed properly, could be the dude. And he is a dude, and that's what I like more about him than anything else. We call it DQs, dude qualities. He has all of them. He'll walk into the locker room day one, and the team will gravitate to him. He's big. He's physical. He's got a good arm, not a great arm. Jordan Palmer, who's worked with him through this process, has really cleaned him up mechanically and gotten a lot more out of him. So we're seeing more output from Blake as a passer. I think Johnny Manziel's going to be a fascinating watch.
Will he walk into a locker room and guys be bummed out because he's a star before he gets there?
I don't know. I there's some stuff there. I just don't know. He won't bring it upon himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know Johnny pretty darn well, and he won't bring it upon himself. I think the question the coaches will have is, does he love football, or does he love what football brings him? I personally believe he loves football, the time I've been around him. But some of his actions tell you he likes what football brings him. I think the Johnny Manziel ride is going to be like riding in a sports car. When you want to go fast, you want to get thrust back in your seat, Johnny can do that. But when sports cars hit speed bumps, they're train wrecks, and they're not real comfortable to ride in. And I think that's going to be the experience with Johnny, that you're going to be uncomfortable about 35 plays a game because you don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes it's going to be really fast, and sometimes it's going to be really bumpy.
Trent Dilfer in studio, SCP and Russillo on ESPN Radio. So as we looked at the top, and you know, we keep saying, if you're Houston, can you really kick it off with Ryan Fitzpatrick next year? Like, is the gap between Clowney or Robinson or Sammy Watkins so great to you in comparison to the top quarterbacks that you'd be willing to just take a position player and figure it out somewhere else at the position?
Okay, so I think the argument is a great argument, but I think you said it in there. I think the gap between Clowney and anybody else you mention is that big. I think he's the Hall of Fame talent in this draft. I don't know how you pass him. I personally, talking to GMs and coaches, when you do all the math, when you sit down with all your guys and you talk about everything, do we really want to pass on a Hall of Fame talent, a guy that we could put next to J.J. Watt and be dominant on defense day one? And whoever we have at quarterback, have him go pull a Trent Dilfer and manage the dang game. You know what I mean? That you can do that and win a lot of games in this league. And maybe take a guy, because there are some second, third, fourth round quarterback options in this draft. I think if nurtured properly, can become 7-8 year starters. And especially if one particular guy would happen to fall to you with that first pick in the second round, I'm talking about Derek Carr, a guy that is a Drew Bledsoe type passer, off the charts as a passer, top 8 passer we've seen in the last 10 drafts. Now, it has other stuff to work on, but if you can get Clowney and him, or if you can get him and Fails maybe in the third, now you're looking at a pretty powerful draft.
Your Fresno is showing. That's right.
It's really not, but I swear, and everybody thinks it's going to be biased there. I know. I have not talked to Derek once since the end of the season. I've just studied the tape.
I had to say it just because if I didn't, somebody would tweet it, and I don't think it. I just felt obligatory.
And I'm not saying I'd take Derek early. I think Derek has a lot of growth he has to go through as a player. But you talk, if you're the guy that likes to just watch a ball pierce through the air and challenge any part of the field, and have, he's a very good athlete, so he can move, he can create space for himself. Derek Carr is, he's the best passer in this draft, and the second guy isn't close to him in terms of just passing.
As a quarterback, you also think wide receiver when you're looking at this tape. Is Watkins the guy?
Yeah, he's the guy. The LSU kid's pretty darn good.
Odell?
Oregon State kid's pretty darn good.
Books.
Yep. Yeah, sorry. There's no names on their jerseys on the tape that I watched.
Well, there's Odell Beckham. There's Jarvis Landry. There's okay. Two LSU guys, okay, that are going to go one
Beckham,
and two in the round.
So, these guys are. It's a really, really good receiver draft. I mean, excellent. But Sammy Watkins is a dude. Is that enough?
I don't know.
You know what? I need to ask you. Segue a little bit. I watch you all the time on TV now that you're a star.
Yeah.
Are you angry when you start NBA Live each night? Or the show, like, you look angry
when
you first come on camera. Now you get into it, you start talking, and you look more relaxed. But am I lying? You look.
I'm just sitting here.
You look angry. Like, I got a tie on my neck. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I've done the radio show all day.
Not at all.
I have 1,000 words to say, and I only get these 30-second sound bites. Like, you look really angry at the start of each show.
Well, I work on one of those fake TV smiles. You guys.
Perfect. Yeah, we got.
Like, hey.
Like a game show host?
Hey, Boomer.
That would be good. Yeah, exactly.
You get the real me 24 hours
okay,
a day.
Okay, good.
He keeps
good.
It 100, bro. He keeps it 100.
I
appreciate
you,
this. Appreciate all this information. Look forward. You're going to be writing a bunch of stuff, yes?
Yes. So I'm now going to start weighing in. I have, as usual, too many thoughts on this class. So
got
to put them to paper.
Thank you for sharing them here. We'll look forward to reading them.
Yep.
And good to see you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
That's Trent Dilfer, ladies and gentlemen.